I don't do this very often, but I felt it was good to have a part two to the sermon from last week. Maybe you feel otherwise because we're talking about anger again, but actually it's a very helpful and practical thing in our lives, and it's important that we talk some more about it today. I feel that God wanted us to do that, and I have very good news. He turns things around, right? He turns things around and he takes situations. And I think all of us have had a situation where in our life where we felt, oh, I really messed that up, or I regret those words that I said in such anger, or, you know, and you feel like, oh, I destroyed that. Now it's over. And God says, no, it's not. It's not over. Okay. That's the devil speaking to you. And I'm not the devil. I'm the God of the universe. And I gave you your lives so that you would be able to overcome the sins in your lives through my son who died for you on the cross, and he lives again to give you hope and to give you a new start and to be able to fix things that you thought before were unfixable. We've all had relationships, you know, throughout our lives in different ways, and we learn in those relationships actually how we can go to God. We need God in our lives. Right. There were a number of people who came yesterday to an event. It was a student recital here, and many of them were, you know, it wasn't a church-related so much event, but actually it was, because the people came here to this church where you're now sitting, and they sang, and we also, Lee Chun shared as their teacher Bible verses with them along the way. And we had a blessing at the end, and even some of the people, well, all of the singers that were able to stay to the end joined together in singing a blessing that are words from the Bible, right? So people come and they hear about the Lord in different ways, and it's important for us to do those kind of things, right? But they don't know the Lord at all. They don't know the gift that we have, and we're going to be talking about today, from God, that helps us in our situations in life. And we pray for all of those people who came, that they would know God, so that they would have victory over sin, and that they would know that there's a God who loves them and gives them eternal life, and actually is the God who gave them voices to sing with. Right? We want to sing in life. Are you a singer? You know, you may not feel like you have a very good voice, but you can still be a singer. Amen? I want to sing the graces of the Lord, the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. Amen? So last week, we learned different things, very wonderful things from some professional counselors who are very learned and also Christians, and they gave very, very valuable advice. One of them help to understand that anger is a secondary emotion caused by a primary emotion, such as fear, these three, fear, hurt, or frustration. So think a moment about yourself and think about those three things, and think about, you know, maybe if one of those is on your mind today, or a feeling that you're experiencing, it's a primary emotion, fear, hurt, or frustration. Okay, so think about that just for a moment and try to, you know, bring that feeling of emotion, the fear or hurt or frustration that you have going on, and bring it to the Holy Spirit today, okay, during this time, so that you will be, God will be speaking directly to your heart about your own life. I'm going to talk to you about some scripture, the scripture in Galatians that we had read by Pat today. And we're also going to be, I'm going to share a couple of personal experiences in my own life. And then we're going to really concentrate on talking about the Holy Spirit today. We'll be covering those things, right? Okay. So fear, hurt, or a frustration, right? The power of God is really the most important means of helping ourselves in life. Okay, it's there for that purpose, and that's why it's important that people go and they translate the Bible into many different languages to reach people so that they can have the Word of God speaking to them, right? prayer is also a very important means for us in our lives to be able to deal with each part of our lives, no matter what's going on, right? And at whatever age it is, because it starts early in our lives, we see that there is sin in the world. We see that there is conflict and there are things that we need to work out from a very early age all the way through. And so the sooner that we know about God's word and we turn to God's word, the better. And that is why we have Sunday school for children. And they're being ministered to right now. So they are equipped with the word of God that is breathed out. It says in Timothy, all scripture is breathed out, right? Into us for us to be equipped for living lives that are going to be doing the work of God. And so it's important for us to understand that there are great counselors around. And this is really what I was thinking about. Last week we spoke about what counselors have offered as advice, and it's very good advice, and it's based on scripture. But still, your personal counselor is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Do you know that? If you don't know that, I'm telling you today that you have a loving, wonderful Holy Spirit that is at work counseling you and giving you counsel in your life, no matter what is going on. And in this case, not seeing God, you know, might be an advantage in a way because, you know, we when we're going to someone to talk to someone about a problem we have, it could be a little intimidating, but it's so great to, you know, I know God is even more visible in a greater way, but you can go to him and just talk to him anytime about whatever is on your mind, and he will help you. The other thing is that the advice that we received last week was also, it was great advice, you know, steps to take. And I really want to encourage you to read those books I have in my office about this. And I can show you other resources that you can read. They're valuable, valuable steps. But the Bible really is the main thing that you want to use because it is in the Bible that they are basing their counseling off, right, or on. So I just want to say that. You know, there's great counselors, and I encourage it. I think it's wonderful to go to see counselors, and I really believe that they make a difference, and we need that. But for you personally, in your own life, you have the Bible, and you have God speaking to you through his Holy Spirit. So that's really why I wanted to speak again today, to underline that fact. The power of God's word is very powerful. I want to share a story of a man who I got to know during a prison ministry when I was going to seminary. I learned about a need in a prison, a state prison in Salem, New Jersey. The chaplain there was a graduate of my seminary, and he was putting out a word and saying, we need someone to come and to teach a weekly Bible study to the prisoners. Okay, so I signed up. I said I'm interested, and so I went there, and I was there for 5 years. I went once a week for 5 years to teach the Bible to these guys. Many of the people there knew more about the Bible than I did. They had a lot of time on their hands, and they really knew all. They knew a lot of stuff. And at first, I was thinking, well, I don't know what I can bring them, but they needed somebody from outside to come in and to, you know, be with them and to open the Bible with them. And so it was a kind of a mutual growth for me and for them together to have each other, you know. I highly recommend it if you have an opportunity to get into prison ministry in some way. So anyway, one of the real blessings in my life came through a guy who was a big guy, okay. He was an imposing figure, but he was a teddy bear. He had the softest heart. He would come up to me and talk to me, and he'd say, oh, you know, John, I wasn't a pastor then. He'd just say, John, you know, we really appreciate you coming here, you know, and he would talk to me about the Bible, and I could tell, you know, he just enjoyed having the fellowship and things like that, but he knew a lot of things about the Bible. Well, one day he told me, I can't remember how it happened, but he said, I want to tell you my story. And he said, I was the most hateful, mean, ugly person you would ever want to meet in your life. And I said, well, what changed you? And he said, when I came into prison, he told me later he had actually killed someone. OK. Okay, this was a mean dude. He was in a gang. He was angry at his father. He was angry at the police. He was angry at everybody in the world. And when he came into the prison, there was a guy, there was a guard there that he didn't like, and he told the guy, I have this pointed pencil, and he said, I see you have a pointed pencil, and at the first chance I get when I'm in this prison, I'm going to take that pencil and I'm going to drive it into your eyes. He goes to the guy heard him say that, and he says, you're going to isolation, solitary. So solitary means you're alone in a room by yourself in this, you know, closed up room. And there was a guy coming out of solitary that day. He was coming out of the room and he had a Bible in his hand and he said, you're going to need this. And he put it into this guy's hand. And he was like, what do I need this for? He goes into the room and he's steaming and he's feeling hatred and anger and all these different things because his life has been just so rotten. And then one day he picked up the Bible and he turned to Psalm 51, and it's the words of David asking God to forgive him of his sin. Create in me a new heart, O Lord, and renew a spirit within me, right? Your spirit within me. And in an instant, he was changed. Right? Talk about turning around. True story. You would never ever in your life believe that it was the same person you were talking to. He was so kind and good and soft. God had changed his heart. And how did it happen? Because someone said, you're going to need this. He put the Bible into his hand. He opened it up one day out of anger and just feeling just like I have nothing else to do. But God took that place. He puts us sometimes in a place where we're in solitary and we have nowhere else to turn. And we turn to him and he forgives us of our sins and he gives us new life. And he became a witness to other people about the change that God had made in him. Isn't that wonderful? So I'm not just talking, you know, like saying, read your Bibles. I'm telling you that there's people in life that are changed by God in that way. And I'm sure that you have your own story and we also know other people in our lives like that. But I will never forget that. Right. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity. Enmity is like this hatred and being enemies. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Those are the works of the flesh. Right? And then Paul says, I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Fits of anger. You will not enter the kingdom of God. Right? But the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that word at the very end there is very important, because it's not just saying, I'm going to work on this so I can be a better person. It is saying, enough, that's it, it's over. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am going to be able to crucify what I've been doing and how I've been acting in my life in those different ways. Right? We have things in our lives that need God. Okay? And it's the only way that you're going to have any kind of change in your life. If you think otherwise, I'm telling you as the pastor of this church, you are sadly mistaken. And I care about you and I'm worried about you, because you are going to die in your sin Right? There are things that we have to really come to a point of saying enough. Right? I can tell you from our own experience at home when I was, you know, we came to the United States with our children and I was working in a job that was tremendously stressful for me. I went into another field. I really feel looking back on it, it was a gift of God, but it was hard. I had to learn a whole new field. IT work. It was completely new for me. I had absolutely no idea. I didn't even send an email. Can you believe it? I never sent an email living in Germany because it was so new. And then I came back and was put in a job working where, you know, not only sending emails, but doing all these other things with computers that I had to learn. But I really felt after a time, you know, because there was so much stress and everything like that, I was showing that toward my wife and my children. And they were taking, you know, they were paying the price for my being upset and being stressed. But my wife said to me, and I don't think she'll mind me saying this, and I've told this story before, she said to me, "You are scaring us." And that was my moment, just like this guy opening the book up there. And seeing himself in the words of David saying, "Lord, I have sinned against you. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me." It went right between, and I looked at my wife and I thought to myself, what in the world are you doing? And to be honest with you, I was scared. Because I did not want to lose my wife. I did not want to lose my wife and children. I loved them, and I realized in that moment there was no excuse. There was no reason for that, and God was using her words to me in that way to wake me up to the fact that I was going to lose the very thing that I love most. God uses those points, and I believe there was a change in my heart from then that was necessary for me to be able to live out what God had given to me through his son when he died on the cross. And things were not perfect from that point on, but that anger and the frustration, one of the three things, right? Those first emotions, frustration of the stress that I was going through was being taken out on my family. So I had to deal with that, and then the anger was gone, and I could deal more with the things at hand, knowing that I wasn't committing a sin. All right. So these are the things, again, these are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against those. You can practice those as much as you want. You're not going to break any law. Isn't that great? There's no law against being good and practicing peace and love and joy and self-control. You can just, you know, jump in and do all those all you want. But those others that come before that of the flesh are the ones, even just one of those, you're going to be in big trouble. And it's important for us not to just read over those and feel like that's not me, because we would be probably lying if we said that. So we need to be honest. We need to be honest with God, and then we're going to be on the right road, right? And these are things that are given to us through the Holy Spirit. When we were singing those praise songs today, you could feel the Holy Spirit at work, right? And that is a real fact, right? It's not just like that we're all, it's coming out of these happy hearts that have no problems. It's coming out of the fact that you know that God is your only hope in life, and you're into that, and you're really singing that and expressing that with all your heart. How do you love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your body, everything? By going through trials, by going through hard times, by going through tough things in life and realizing that God is there for you and he's teaching you deeper things in life that are going to equip you to do his work. So there's nothing you're going to face in your life that is going to be too great for you, because God is right there with you and he's giving you strength. And he's even using those moments to make you a more in the character of Christ. It's so great. It's fabulous. Because it teaches you the real meaning of relationships. It teaches you the real meaning of love and those kind of ways. And so that needs to be our aim, to see the great things that come from the Holy Spirit working in us. So if you're not in touch with God today, this is your chance to do that, right? To start anew, to say, Lord, I see now, I need you. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are things in my life that are from my past that are causing me pain still, right? I was thinking about this and considering the different kinds of ways that we can apply this. You know, for me, I had a very, very hard life in my teen years. I was rebellious, but it was also a difficult family life. I can say that. I don't like to talk a lot about it, but I can tell you that it wasn't easy, and I was angry. My mother didn't want me to date. My father was fine with it. So that was a conflict. There's this going back and forth and being confused and not knowing what to do, right? So we're facing that kind of thing where we have a relationship where somebody is not allowing us to do something that we want to do, and we prefer to do that over what they're telling us to do. If we don't get our way, that comes out in the counseling a lot. The best way to be able to grow in our relationships with other people is to set aside yourself completely and listen to what they are saying to you. And not to judge them when they tell you what they're thinking. That is the best way that God tells us, right? Remember what it says in that verse in James, right? Listen more, right? Don't be quick to say something. Listen more. Got to take a break. It's a lot. It's a lot because I'm telling you about things that I do all the time. You know, we all have to learn with these things. We have to take a deep breath, right? Count to four. So if we're pushing ourselves on our opinion on somebody and it's causing pain, then lay off. Take them out for an ice cream. You know? Love, love, love. More love, more peace, more patience, kindness. God, show me how to be good, how to be faithful, gentle. Teach me self-control. How can I control my anger? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to control my anger. I'm going through a lot at work. I have all these things, these deadlines. My church is, you know, asking me to do stuff. My family has got all these different things. My school, my teacher. I have so many exams. I have all this to study for. And you know, those are the things that a lot of times drive us, that we feel like so tired and we're thinking, you're asking for more. And I think what happens there is that we need to spend some time in prayer with the Holy Spirit and ask for the power of God to help us in those moments. The great news is that nothing is impossible for God. Do you believe that? I mean, We feel that someone is unreachable. We were at a dinner recently that a pastor and his wife attended, with whom I had really a bad relationship. You know, like not talking to each other. And this was before I was a pastor, but it was that bad. And we sat next to each other at this dinner, and we were laughing and enjoying times together, and it's all because we both said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the way I said things to you. And that came as a result of the Holy Spirit training us in righteousness. Training us in righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means practicing things like that, learning how to be able to forgive someone for hurting you. You know? And kids are very forgiving. A lot of times parents feel like, oh, I'm an example to them. I'm not allowed to make mistakes. Forget that. They know anyway. You know, the best thing to do is say, mommy or daddy said something or I did something and it was wrong. I'm sorry I hurt you and forgive me, please. Right? And we also have to do that in life. So we have things that linger, but we want to slowly, as we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, give those over to God, speak to our counselor, our trusted Holy Spirit friend and counselor, and speak to God and say, Lord, help me in my life so that I can be more like what you just described in the fruit of the Spirit. So I'll tell you one more story. I saw this person at the same dinner. I chose to tell you things from my own life because I felt like last week I was telling you things from other people's lives. I don't want you to, you know, feel I'm going to do this very often, but I just feel like it's good to share things from your own life sometimes. But I was a chairman of the deacons at a church. This church that we attended for many years, we were married at the church in Chinatown, and I was the chairman of the deacons, and we interacted with different deacons, and we talked about different things, and I'm not going to tell you what happened, but I'll just tell you that there was something occurred between me and a sister there who was serving on the board of deacons, and it hurt her, the way I spoke to her. And what I spoke to her about. And this is a friend of ours. I mean, not just a deacon, right? I'm the deaconess on the board, but she was a friend. And so, it went on for a while. And I was struggling with it. And, she probably was too. Well, anyway, Lee Chan and I went to her home one day to, I think Lee Chan had to drop off something. And God really helped me. He really helped me. He turned things around. I looked up and I saw our friend come out the door, and there was just something about it. It was very godly. It was a God moment where I saw her as a child of the Father. And I saw her as a friend. And I saw her as this lovely sister in Christ and woman who we had known and known her family for so many years. And it woke me up. And I went to her and I apologized for the way I talked to her. And she was so gracious and so kind. And she said, it's okay. It's okay. And from that moment on, until we saw her recently at that dinner, we're friends. We care about each other. And that's what God does. It wasn't me. It was God helping me to see a vision of her as who he sees her as. And that's the last thing that I want to say to you guys. We oftentimes get so wrapped up in the way we've been hurt and how we have done, you know, this person has done this to me and I have a right to say this in this way to them, that we forget God. It's really, really silly, isn't it? But the most important one oftentimes gets forgotten in those moments, that we feel like, I have a right to do this. I have a, you know, they went too far. And did you hear what they said? And do you know what I've been through? And all these things in our lives. And God is like, how do you think I feel looking at you two not getting along? So we teach the children in CEF, the Bible club after school, that it's important for us to know about sin, that sin, you know, it separates us from God. But we also teach them, if I say something that's not nice to this person, not only am I hurting them, but I am hurting God. And so it's important in our lives to have and foster the relationship that we have with God, and to know even more than the relationships that we have with one another, we need to pay attention for the sake of our Savior and our God, our relationship with him. He gave himself for you and for me. He gave himself for you and for me for that very purpose, that we would not right? Hurt other people, that we would be so moved by his dying for you and me and giving us the salvation, a new life, that it would so affect us in our lives and fill us with joy and grace that we would do likewise to other people. And that slows you down. Last week they were saying, take these steps, and it seemed kind of hard, like in that moment when you're hurt, to put those things into practice, like step away, take a breath, walk around, count to 1,000, consider what you're feeling, all those things, and you're thinking, I can't do all that at that time, it comes on too fast. But that's the power of God. He slows things down. He slows down the entire scene so that it is no longer just like too fast not to react in anger. And he gives you his peace, and he gives you visions of your friends, and he gives you people in your life that you meet who were one-time murderers and that have been transformed. And he says, that is going to be your world now. And so all of a sudden you have all this other time because it's God's time. You're living in God's kingdom. You're living in his world, not in the world of the flesh. He slows you down. He gives you peace in your heart so that it actually might even come to the point where you don't get angry at all. That's God. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. That's the Holy Spirit. And we also need to help one another. We have to help one another. That's why the body of Christ is here. We encourage each other. We pray for one another. We bless one another. We reach out to one another. Right? We are involved with one another's lives. So I just want to read these again, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who have that belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let us pray.